Thanks for listening to this podcast. I'm Bob Kinzel, co-host of Vermont Edition. Just wanted to let you know that this has been edited for brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. More fool you if you thought we were out of the woods when it comes to winter weather. March can be a very snowy month, and it's proving its reputation already with two big snowstorms hitting the Northeast, including many parts of Vermont. One of the big considerations when snow and ice or frigid temperatures hit is what to do about public schools. Close? Stay open? Delay? Turns out there's a lot that goes into that decision, and a lot of calling back and forth among superintendents and principals, school bus companies, meteorologists. Today on the show, we're going to talk with two people who help make the decisions about whether or not to close school. I think it's probably safe to say it's not their favorite part of their jobs. It's often a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of scenario, but it's worth understanding all the considerations that come into play. Suzette Bollard is superintendent of schools at Orange North Supervisory Union. Jay Nichols is executive director of the Vermont Principals Association, and he used to be superintendent of schools of the Franklin Northeast SU. They're both with us in our Montpelier studio today. Jay, Suzette, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, Suzette, what did you decide today for your supervisory union?
Well, after much deliberation with many folks, we went with a two-hour delay.
Why?
The long answer or the short answer?
Medium answer.
The medium answer. Just there are many between the NOAA shifts in the forecast to say that they were only going to get another 3 inches during the day, to road crews saying that they needed another couple hours to just clean up the roads, and the fact that it's been a pretty snowy year and really wanting kids to be in school, plus high poverty districts where we are responsible for feeding children two times a day. When we close school, you know, sometimes that's a deciding factor in terms of whether or not we go for a delay and make sure that we get lunch in these little guys. So that's what went into it.
So, Jay Nichols, you are no longer our superintendent, but you're now executive director of the Principals Association. Do you get involved in trying to help schools and supervisory unions figure out what to do?
Well, the truth is, Jane, the reason I left the superintendency was so I wouldn't have to talk about snow days anymore.
We caught you.
You did. No, the Principals Association doesn't get involved in that. And in some systems across the state, principals may be involved in that. In some cases, they may be a designee for the superintendent. The superintendent may talk to principals in the morning to get input, but it really is the superintendent's decision, getting input from wherever he or she can.
And you jest. I assume that's not the entire reason you left and became executive director, but really not a fun thing to do. I mean, is it one of those situations where whatever call you make, you're going to be, villainized by someone?
Yeah, sure. There's no question. If you have a snow day and it ends up being the weather's not that bad or whatever, or things don't come out the way that people predicted, people are going to be like, wow, you should have had school. And then if you have a situation where you decide to have school and the weather gets worse, or a bus does slide off the road or something does happen, then people are all like, why did you not cancel school? So the bottom line, we have to think about student safety and what makes the most sense given the conditions of that day.
And we actually got a note from a bus driver who didn't want to share a name because just wanted to make sure that his job was secure, but said, I serve a rural district by transporting a bunch of kids and young adults from pre-K to high school seniors and some special ed as well. I drive about 120 miles a day on dirt roads and on town and state-maintained roads and experience an elevation change of about 950 feet 8 times a day. My bus is a bit less than 40 feet long and weighs about 30,000 pounds when full of kids. It is beautifully and obsessively maintained by a licensed professional. It'll seat 77, although it rarely does. For most of the year, my day either starts or ends in the dark, and for some of the year, it does both. Snow delays and snow days cause significant disruption, inconvenience, and expense for my single-parent families. And for my households where both parents work outside the home, there are likely similar disruptions to academic life that I don't see. But goes on to say, this bus driver does, considering the value of my cargo, I am all for snow days and snow delays and would prefer to drive another day in June than on some of the days we inevitably get around here. The only time I get grumpy about snow days is when they don't get called when they should. Once there are kids on the buses or kids in the schools that need to get home, options decrease and risks increase when the weather unexpectedly deteriorates. My experience tells me that the powerful combination of a resolute and cautious administration, alert and dedicated road agents, and the National Weather Service make the right call well more than 9 times out of 10, for which we should all be grateful, not whiny. Suzette, I imagine that's music to your ears.
It certainly is. It certainly is.
How important is the consideration of buses and the public transportation of children to and from school in the consideration of whether or not to take a snow day?
Well, as Jay said, the number one priority is safety of children. And the bus, we happen to contract out for our bus services, and the bus company is a part of that decision making. If the bus company were to say that they were not comfortable having buses on the roads where I was leaning to have the schools open, I would absolutely close.
Because, could you do otherwise? Could you force them?
I could. They're a contracted service. I believe that I could do that, but I don't see any plus for that.
Suzette, how early do you start thinking about what's going to happen on a day of a storm?
Well, about 3 days before the storm, phones start exploding from NOAA alerts. So superintendents begin, we have a regional group that begin a thread of, what are you thinking? What's happening in your region? The day of the storm, sometimes the night before, I have colleagues who like to try to give families some notice in the evening, but my experience with that, quite frankly, has been that when I make a decision in the evening, the storm likes to track in a different direction, so I get caught the next morning, and it's very difficult to change the decision once it's been made. So I tend to wait until the next morning. At about 4:30 in the morning, I'm checking with road crews. I'm checking with facilities folks. By 5 o'clock, there's about 12 of us that are on email sharing what our road crews are saying with each other. Some folks have an inside line with local weather forecast people. And we just begin to put it together as a group. It's not a group decision. Everybody kind of does what they believe is best for their district, but it's good to try to process that with other folks in similar situations. And also looking really closely at the districts that are right next to yours. All of us are, well, I shouldn't say all of us, but decisions are, the first set of decisions really try to be done by 5:30 in the morning. It's dependent on how soon your buses are on the road.
And some buses are on the road pretty darn early.
Right. So I try to make my decisions by 5:30 in the morning. I have other folks with walkers that where the buses are later, the geographic distances are shorter, and so they can postpone those decisions for 15 or 20 more minutes. But
they get to sleep in.
Done. Yeah. No.
You said, Suzette, some people have an inside line to meteorologists. I mean, are you guys getting special weather alerts that us regular people don't get?
Well, I think that there are some districts that actually contract with local meteorologists to get other types of input on these days.
Jay Nichols, did you have an inside line?
I did not have an inside line. Essentially, what we did in the Champlain Valley with the superintendents, that's about 42% of the kids in the state, Chittenden County and Franklin County and Grand Isle. It was very similar to the process that Suzette has just articulated. We would sometimes talk the night before. If we knew there was a real bad storm or it was partway through, we knew that things were going to be bad in the morning, we might cancel it the night before if we could. And then we'd start talking about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. Again, each person would make their own decision based on their area, but that conversation with your colleagues is really helpful. And then the bus companies and the road crews are really the key. If the roads are safe for the buses and you're a rural district, then you go. If the roads are not safe for the buses, then it's a non-starter right there.
You know, it's interesting. I was looking at all the closings this morning on the VPR website, and they seemed to track pretty closely by county. And I live in northern Addison County. As I said, most of Addison County had two-hour delays. And then just one town north, all of Chittenden County was open. And if you're in southern Addison County and you look down, most of Rutland County was closed. So the geography, the northern part of Rutland, southern part of Addison, or, northern part of Addison, southern part of Chittenden, geographically they were the same. But do those decisions, those kind of conversations that you're having with one another, tend to go along county lines?
I think more county lines than regional lines. I know as Franklin County superintendents, although we talked to other superintendents in Champlain Valley, when possible, we would try to have the same decision. We couldn't always do that because conditions could be different from one town or one section of the county to another. But we also share a lot of families, share a lot of staff. And I think that's typical in most counties. So the county superintendents do try to talk together and make decisions together when they can. But obviously, it's the decision of the superintendent based on the best information for his or her district at that time.
Listeners, yeah, go ahead. Suzette, you wanted to chime in?
Yeah, I was going to say it's a little bit different in Orange County because it seems like there's a couple of weather lines. There's the high point between Williamstown and Randolph that sometimes is like going from an entirely different world.
Boy, no kidding.
And the other one is going up over Orange Heights and down into Bradford. So Orange County can be very diverse in terms of how they're responding because the weather is often very different.
Listeners, what do you think? Do you have a snow day today? Are you unable to call in because your kids are running around crazily right now? So write to us. You can post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Or if you're near a phone, you can call 800-639-2211. What do you want to know about what goes into making a decision? Or what do you want others to know about what that decision means for you as a teacher, as a bus driver, as a parent? Again, 800-639-2211. We got a note from Gary in Richmond who says, all the kids are constantly checking a website that claims to predict the probability of a snow day. It's called snowdaycalculator.com. Are you aware of this website? And I'm wondering if you have any comment about it, Gary writes. Jay and Suzette, is this a site that you're well aware of?
We are aware of it, and I can't speak for all superintendents, but I'm pretty sure every one of us hates it.
Why?
Well, I just learned about it yesterday. I was listening to the television, and I was horrified. I think just it sounds fun, but if it's going to, you know, put more pressure on what is already a very difficult decision.
But does it? I mean, you know that most kids want a snow day, and I don't know about most parents, but at least for me and my family, it is a hardship to have a snow day and to have kids that you have to figure out what to do with and figure out how to work. So, but kids are going to want a snow day no matter what. Does that really put more pressure on you if they're all checking this and looking at it?
I don't know. I would probably not. As long as it stays fun, it's all good.
Yeah, I would echo that. I will say that as a superintendent with a tech center in two high schools when I was superintendent, the kids followed me on Twitter. And I would get lots of notices from the kids saying, boy, Mr. Nichols, those roads are not looking too good. I think we should have tomorrow off, especially the seniors, because they knew I wasn't going to move graduation date.
And did that ever sway you even a little bit?
I would write them back notes saying, thanks for your support. Really appreciate it. But no, it doesn't sway your opinion. You make the decision based on the evidence that you have and putting student safety first and foremost in whatever you do.
You know, on the other hand, there are certain things that, of course, do go into your consideration when it comes to family needs. And Suzette, you mentioned this a little bit before, but let me read you two notes that we got. Robert in Ira says, I'm in my 60s. School closings when I was in grade school didn't present an obstacle to my parents, as my mother and several moms on the block were always at home. Not so in today's society. I completely understand canceling bus transportation. I used to drive school buses and can vouch for their lack of traction, but I don't see the need to cancel schools. I currently work in a hospital and witness young moms, nurses, and LNAs getting disciplined for calling in due to school closings. While I understand that education is the primary goal of schools, many of us rely and depend on a schedule that includes both parents working while our children are being educated. Cancel the bus transportation on snow days, but continue to educate our children. And Chris says, I work on a farm with few employees, and my closest colleague is a single mom with two kids and pretty regular support from her mom who lives down the road. But snow days still have a very significant impact on her ability to work. Of course, as a single parent, this significantly impacts her income during an expensive time of the year. So I understand the need to be sparing with snow days, as there are real impacts to parents. Simultaneously, I recognize it's absurd that in a state like ours, with the amount of snow we historically receive, there are three snow days built into the school calendar, which tends to result in a haphazard and jumpy series of early dismissals and late starts, which causes greater scheduling challenges for my friend, the single working mom. Why do we have so few snow days built into the schedule? So, Suzette, you mentioned the hardship part of this and thinking about kids who are living in poverty and maybe rely on school meals as well as working parents. But, how do you balance that when you're talking about safety and roads?
Well, it's very difficult. I always say to parents, I'll be honest, we had some calls today about not agreeing with my decision to have the schools, even though we had a delay, to keep them open. I always say to parents that it is absolutely their call, that if they don't feel like it's safe to put the kids on the road and into the buses or into their own cars, that they need to make that call and they need to keep kids home. And we would certainly treat that as an excused absence. But then again, as you said, sometimes that's additional hardship because folks are working more than one job or don't have the flexibility in their employment to be at home. So it's a very tough, it's a tough balance. The state requires the students to be in school 175 days a year. My particular system is scheduled for 177, so I have a couple of days in there that I can make some adjustments with and perhaps do in-service toward the end of the year rather than pull kids back in. But the 175 days is a law, and it's very rare that there's any kind of move to waive any kind of, to waive that requirement. So we balance that. In terms of building in days, I am not a system that builds in days because it's all it does is it doesn't really mean anything. It's just changing the last day of school, whether you put days out and now can back it up or whether or not you're going to have to move your day farther out.
Well, except there's no maximum, right? I mean, you could have kids in school for a planned 182 days, and then if it only wound up being 180, you'd still be well within the law.
Absolutely.
But you don't do that.
No. Well, that has to do with your master agreement with your teachers.
Mm.
And so the number of days that are required of teachers it's very different across the state. The 175 is the state law. But between, we're traditionally doing a week off in February. We're traditionally doing a week off in April. We have these other holidays that are just really a part of being in school in Vermont that push that 175 days out into mid-June for all of us. So if you're 180 or 185, then you're well into June. So it's just a really hard balance to strike.
Jay, what about that hardship factor for so many families, whether it's, trying to figure out a workaround for work or really needing that food that your kids get?
Well, those are things that we always have to consider, and I think superintendents really try to consider that. But the bottom line still comes down to the student safety piece. If the roads are so unsafe that bus company or road crews don't think it's safe to travel the roads, then we should not have kids out on the roads. I know one caller mentioned about having parents bring kids. In Vermont, we are very, very bus-driven schools. We have a lot of kids that are transported via school buses. And what would happen in that situation would be a lot of parents would not have the means to necessarily get their kids to school. They may have already left for work themselves. They might only be one parent home or another caretaker that's home with the kids that doesn't have transportation. And a lot of kids would be in a situation where they couldn't get to school. So I think that's one of the reasons why we don't just say, hey, get your kid here if you can. We'll still have school. We say, public education is for all kids. If we can't get all the kids there, then we're better off to cancel it. We also use, delays. If it's a situation where the roads aren't real good right now but the weather report looks really good and the road crews say, hey, give us an hour or two, then we go ahead and have school because then we can feed the kids. Then we can make sure we take care of those things.
I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today, on this snowy day around the region, we're talking about how schools and supervisory unions make decisions about when to cancel or delay school, or sometimes call for an early release. Our guests are Suzette Bollert, superintendent of schools at Orange North Supervisory Union. All of her schools had a two-hour delay this morning. And Jay Nichols is also with us. He's executive director of the Vermont Principals Association, and he used to be superintendent of schools for Franklin Northeast. And let's go to Jeff, who's calling in from South Burlington. Hi, Jeff. Go right ahead.
Hello. Well, yep, I'm a bus driver for South Burlington. And we thought for sure we're going to have a snow day today, but we didn't. The weather kind of shifted off to the east. And I happened to go by the superintendent's office this morning after I dropped the kids off at the middle school. He calls me in and shows me what he looks at when he's trying to make the snow day or no day decision. And I felt like I was in the Eye of the Sky headquarters. He had charts. He had printouts from earlier. He was showing me humidity charts, flow charts, snowfall charts. I was really impressed, and I thought, with all the responsibilities that a superintendent has, they also have to be excellent weather people. So it was pretty fascinating.
Jeff, were you okay on the roads today? Did it seem like the right call? Not that, I'm not asking you to... second guess your
yep.
superintendent.
No, it was definitely the right call. The roads were totally fine here in around South Burlington. Everybody's disappointed when there's not a snow day, but it was the right call.
Well, thank you for calling in. Appreciate hearing that. And let's go to Kurt in Burlington. Hi, Kurt. Go right ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just calling. My brother is a school bus driver down south. I won't name school districts or anything, but he was saying with cuts to budgets and things that he faces all the time as a bus driver. And what my father told me was your vehicle is only as good as its tires. And something that nobody's talking about is the tires on the school buses are not really great at all. He said, you know, most of the stopping power is in the front end, and he has a really hard time stopping even when there's just a little bit of ice and or moisture on the roads, meeting the impending timelines for getting the schools picked up and getting them off to school, and how there's really nothing in the budget to address how you're contacting the road. And everyone talks about kids' safety, but that's something nobody's talking about.
Kurt, thanks for your call. Appreciate hearing your perspective. Suzette, Jay, what do you think about that? I mean, you have to think a lot about the buses, whether you're a district that owns buses or contracts out with a bus company.
So I've been a superintendent in both of those situations where we've contracted buses and where we've owned buses. And I think when you own buses, you make sure that you've got a really strong maintenance department. You make sure that the buses are well taken care of. You make sure you've got good winter tires on the buses. And if you're in a situation where you contract, you make sure that the contractor knows that the expectation is that the buses are, you know, obviously inspected and stuff, but that are safe for the roads that you're having the contractor drive on, and you hold them accountable for that. Because again, it is about the safety. If there's a driver out there that feels that their bus isn't safe or the tires aren't where they should be immediately letting, you know, their supervisor or the owner of the bus company or whoever that may be know about that situation right off.
Hmm. You know, so Kurt was saying, though, that, you know, the budget cuts impact this. And do you see that line, Jay, being a fine one between, you know, what the budget will allow and where that line of safety is?
Well, to be honest, more and more places contract buses now than ever before. It used to be a lot of places in Vermont own their own buses, and there still are some. But it's much more common to have a contracted service. So, you know, you bid it out and a company makes the bid, and it's part of the agreement, the contract that is signed between the school district and the company. You know, the expectation is that their buses, you know, you can put in your contract, buses can be no more than X years old, and, you know, those types of things can be in your contract. If you own your own buses, then, you know, that decision is made as part of the budgeting process with the administrative team and the school board. And I have to be honest with you, I think that school board members across the state, they really get how important bus safety is. Most of them are not people who are educators, but they are people that understand the importance of roads and keeping kids safe. So I think when a superintendent makes a proposal related to buses that there's a safety issue, you know, school boards definitely listen to that.
Let's go to Mark calling in from Waitsfield. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Great. And you?
I'm getting better. I've got like a cold that I'm trying to shake off, but I'm feeling better. I just had one point to bring up. It's like, why can't we I got a syllable injunction there. Why can't we rearrange the school schedule to where the kids aren't, the 180 days they're going to school aren't right in the middle of wintertime when roads are treacherous?
Yeah, Mark, thanks for the call. I mean, why not shift the school year, Jay and Suzette, and have a break time, 8 weeks of break time right here in this cold part of winter?
Well, that would actually be awesome, except that certainly the schools in my school district are not equipped to be open in the summer. No air conditioning. And I just, you know, and just in terms of what the culture of the school year has been in Vermont and in the United States forever, that would be a huge change. I think that there has been some talk off and on over the years about changing to a year-round schedule that would give us some break in the winter for that exact reason, to ease energy costs. But it would take some adjustments in order for us to be open in the summer.
Jay Nichols, is this something that you look at the Principals Association?
Not so much the Principals Association, but several years ago, I myself and three other superintendents put together a plan for what people call the year-round calendar, and we got crucified. Essentially, the calendar was an eight-week on, two-week off type of situation, with July being the summer break. It's based on research on giving kids more time off and teachers – not more time off, but breaking up the chunks. And there's places that have done that have seen some strong positive gains in achievement and learning related to that. But it's hard. It's tradition, as you know, Suzette said, and this is pretty much how schools have been set up for forever. And the real reason was that this calendar came about. People think it's because of agriculture. It's actually because of cities. And what happened is, when public schools came into being, cities were very hot during the summer, and parents of means would take the time off from the summer and go to, you know, the beach or whatever. And families that could not do that would stay in the city. And so they matched the school calendar to support the needs of the parents of means. It's kind of the rationale behind the calendar in the beginning.
Yeah, so it had nothing to do with snow per se, but so you don't see any movement to change it to go to a more – and as you said, Jay, you based it on ideas about learning, where that three-month break can be really difficult for students, but then having a chunk of time on and a littler chunk off might be more beneficial for learning, but not likely to see much movement on that, you think, in Vermont?
Yeah, I don't really see a lot of movement on that. I mean, I would certainly welcome something like that. And the fact is, when we look at the achievement gap, over the course of the school year, schools overall nationally and in Vermont make progress in the achievement gap. But the summer gap is really, really big, especially for students that are in situations where they don't have the resources that other families may have. And so you see the gap actually be exacerbated over the course of the summer.
You know, Suzette, our producer, Rick Singeri, has been looking at Snow Day Calculator, which we talked about earlier, and it says that your supervisory union is likely to have a delay tomorrow. So anything that you want to, you know, reveal here on the show?
No.
Are you thinking about tomorrow already?
Yes, I am. But that decision will be made tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we got a note. You said that every time you make a preemptive call, the storm seems to go in the other direction. And we got a note from Mark who says, I've noticed, especially this year, a trend toward preemptively closing schools before inclement weather strikes. On at least one occasion this year, we received notice by 7 p.m. the night before that schools were closed the next day, only to have no bad weather actually materialize. Seems to me like schools are more and more trying to cover their butts than respond to actual weather events. We live in Vermont. There's winter weather. Towns, school districts, parents, and kids need to be prepared to deal with some snow periodically and not just bag a day of class at the suggestion of snow. Suzette, given that email, how much do you love this part of your job?
Not very much. It's so much so I certainly have the power to delegate it, but I just don't have the heart to delegate it to anybody.
One thing we haven't talked about, though, is early release. And so we've talked about delays and why you might have a delay and obviously why you might have a cancellation of school. What about early release? Is that something that, I mean, it's obviously a tool in the toolbox, but it sounds like not one you really like. Why not?
No. For a variety of reasons. I think it's a bigger hardship on families to suddenly get a call from the school saying that we're closing in 2 hours. So what their regular afternoon routines or early evening routines are suddenly disrupted from people at work. The other piece is that the road crews have a particular schedule that they use throughout the day in terms of how the order of doing what roads they do when, and when they do the back roads and when they do the paved roads. The expectation is that we'll have buses on the roads at 3 o'clock. If I call them at 11 and say, oh, by the way, I need the buses on the road by 12:30, that's highly disruptive to their plan. And in fact, in many cases, I think that the roads are not – it's not safer to put kids on the road early than it is to let the road crews do what they do in the order that they are expect to do it in and get them in on at 3 o'clock.
Jay, do you agree?
I totally agree. As a superintendent, that was I would never have an early release unless I had absolutely no choice, you know, relating to some event that was out of our control. One time I can remember there was like tornado warnings or hurricane warnings, and power was getting knocked out everywhere, and we did an early release. But I hated that, and I had a bunch of staff volunteer to stay at the school in case kids came back. The other factor, especially for the little kids, is that they may be going home to a place with no family there. You know, if the parents are both off somewhere and they can't get home in time, what do you do in that situation? So I really would try to avoid early releases if at all possible.
You know, bottom line, though, this is a fact of life here in Vermont. We live in a snowy climate. We have snow, and we're likely to have some snow days, whether it's built into the calendar or not. So any advice for all kinds of people who have to either look forward to or dread school days coming up, Jay?
Make sure you've got winter snow tires. I used to tell staff all the time, leave early. Anytime we had a snow day, I was still at the office. I made it here from my home in Berkshire to Montpelier this morning. I drove through some pretty tough roads. So, you know, leave early. Give yourself plenty of extra time. Just be safe. Don't be in a rush. And I think, you know, the one caller that talked about, we do live in Vermont. It's a fact of life. You know, visibility scares us. Really, really icy roads. Snow that's falling at more than an inch an hour, those types of things, or huge snowfalls. You know, those are things that we close for. But if it's a regular day where you're getting a couple inches of snow, you know, chances are you're going to have school.
Just or cold. For it. We didn't mention extreme cold and kids waiting outside for the bus in the early morning.
Yeah, that's an important factor too. And, you know, we don't have any state guidance on that. Some superintendents have actually asked us at the VPA to put out some kind of a guidance. We've done some of that with sports, but, you know, basically, again, that's a local decision. And if you've got buses that are 30 below, they're probably not starting anyway. And sometimes schools will close because of that.
Well, Jay Nichols is executive director of the Vermont Principals Association and used to be superintendent of schools in Franklin Northeast. Jay, thank you very much for being on the program today.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Suzette Ballard is superintendent of schools at Orange North Supervisory Union. Suzette, thanks very much to you, and good luck making the decision for tomorrow.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
As we conclude this part of the conversation, we got a note from Julie who says, another part that hasn't been discussed is that many of our high school students drive to school to be able to stay for clubs, activities, after school, or work. Bad roads also put our most inexperienced drivers in precarious positions. I witnessed a young driver go off the road this morning on my commute.